James chapter number 1, verse number 13. Notice this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Don't say that. You know, why is it that when something bad happens, first person we do is blame God? If it's evil, it didn't come from him. It's amazing. Devil does it, then sits on our shoulder and says, God did it, and we're dumb enough to believe him. So instead of getting mad at the guy that's sitting on our shoulder, we get mad at God. Don't say that. Stop that nonsense. Let go of it if you've got it. Amen? I mean, don't ever level an accusation against a pure, holy, almighty God that's perfect, that's never made a mistake ever in all eternity past, nor will he ever in all eternity future. Shame on you. Amen, Brother Jerry. Come on. Come on. I'm going to pump them out of you tonight. I need some help preaching tonight. Help me, all right? Shame on you. How dare you? That's my God. That's my perfect God. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Excuse me. Excuse me. Aren't you afraid of offending somebody? I'm tired of you offending God. Excuse me. Something bad happens. Stop blaming God. Why are you mad at God? God never did one evil thing ever to anyone. Amen. That's good for us. Let no man say when he is tempted. I'm tired of a bunch of Christians walking around acting like they've got a right to hold a grudge against God. I'm tired of it. I meet with him every morning. He told me to tell you he's tired of it. I worship at his feet. He's never done anything but good. How dare a creation level an accusation against a holy creator? Boy, this is good. We need to just stay here a minute. Let's let this sink in. You know, we're so silly. Something bad happens. We get mad at God. Devil done it. He says, God did it. We believe the devil because we don't read the Bible or don't believe the Bible. Walk around like we ought to be mad at God. Drop out of church or don't participate in church. Quit serving the Lord. And the devil's laughing and dancing and carrying on and saying, what a fool. And God said this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. That's a direct imperative command from God. How dare you level an accusation against me? Amen. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So where does this evil come from? Well, yeah, that's true. But that's not the only place it comes from. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his... And, now I'm going to talk to you. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what we're going to do tonight and for the next two Sunday nights, Lord willing. And I looked at the calendar at the beginning of the year and settled this. And, of course, if God would have changed my mind, I would have. But settled that the first three Sunday nights in March, we were going to take three Sunday nights in a row and preach on the same subject. And it's going to take three Sunday nights to cover it all. But I'm going to preach in this matter of enticement and temptation. I chose Sunday night for a reason. I can't do it on Wednesday because the young people desperately need to hear this. We've got too many workers out. I'm not against it. I'm glad what's going on. But I want the church to hear this. Children, I want you to hear this. Teens, I want you to hear this. Parents, I want you to hear this. Young couples, I want you to hear this. There's something that is happening to Christians, and it's happening absolutely at an alarming rate on a regular basis, and it shouldn't be happening at all. And so I want you to really please, please, please listen to me. Let me read that verse again. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren, this is for Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to break this down. Help us to make it understandable. Help us to help our young people. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Help us as Christians to understand what's going on around us. Be able to clearly identify this unbelievable, simple, yet effective pattern that Satan has been carrying on since the Garden of Eden. Lord, we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. Help us, Lord, to see clearly tonight as we do the introductory message, take this information, and then, God, next Sunday night, the Sunday night after that, please, Lord, Lord, except for your coming, I pray that you'd give me the strength and ability to finish this series out, Lord. Lord, help us to gain wisdom tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and you may be seated. I want you to listen very carefully, very carefully. Listen, if you're tired, as a matter of fact, Brother Hal, make sure that that's on air back there, and we're blowing some cold air in here. Isn't it exciting? It's the first Sunday in March, and we're using air conditioners. Amen. Let me check this one. I read it right. All right. Probably should have left them running a little colder during the afternoon. They're working, folks. If it's a little warm, I apologize, but we just warmed up outside, and it kind of caught us by surprise here. Now, look up here and focus. I know some of you have been tired. I know you have good reason to be. I'm tired. Thank God I get to stand up and talk. Amen. Or I'd probably fall asleep. But pinch yourself, slap yourself. Stay awake tonight. This could be, for many, many people in this room, absolutely life or death, absolutely the most important thing that you're going to hear. For some of you, if you don't get this, in the next 12 months, you're going to be a casualty. I'm not kidding you. I mean, in 12 months, there's going to be a place where you sat for years that's empty and you're gone. You must get this. Please listen to what your preacher is going to say tonight. Now, I want you to look again, please, at verse number 14. I want to break down for you temptation. I want to break it down to its two most simple elements. Brother Jerry, what happens when we are tempted? What two ingredients must come together for temptation to happen? Listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. There's two ingredients necessary for temptation. Chapter number one. By the way, I've preached this and taught this as youth pastor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to our teens and youth several times. I've come here to the pulpit probably three or four times the last 13 years and preached one message on this, but never gave this amount of information that I'm going to give you. Please listen to what I have to say. This isn't new. We didn't just start teaching this year. Okay? This has been taught, and it needs to be taught again. In this passage, we see two necessary ingredients of temptation. Number one, our own lust, and that word lust means desire, our own wrong desire or desire to do wrong. Number two, an enticer. Is that true? Well, let's read it. But every man, that means all of us, across the board, every person in this room that is going to meet temptation. But every man is tempted when what? Two things happen. Number one, he's drawn away of his own lust. Number two, and enticed. There's a problem inside, and then there's an enticer that works on the outside. Now look at me real quickly and let me talk to you about this. If you are going to be successful at overcoming temptation, you have to understand it. You have to be versed in the Bible enough to immediately recognize the ingredients. Let me say this. Temptation should not sneak up on you. If you're versed in the Bible, you ought to see it coming a country mile. Well, I just got bushwhacked. Well, folks, if you did, then it's because you're biblically ignorant. Let's not remain that way. Let's learn something tonight. All right. What's the number one problem? Number one problem is us. Number one's problem is that we're harboring wrong desires. We have a secret desire, a secret lust. We've got a secret place in our heart where we may look on the outside right, we may act right, we may go through the motions, we may nod when we want to, when we're supposed to nod, answer our parents the right answers when they ask us the question, but down deep we are harboring a secret desire to do something or go somewhere, participate in something that is wrong, it's evil, it's ungodly, and we have no right to even harbor that desire. And if you have that desire, you have those desires, and you don't get those... Listen, folks, let me tell you what happens. Let me read this to the conclusion. Why is this important? Listen, folks, it starts with a wrong desire, a wrong lust that we harbor. Then an enticer comes, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The wrong desire and the enticer come together. We commit the act of sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, and something dies. And something dies. Now stay with me here. Now I'm going to talk to you for the vast majority of this time. The vast majority of the 3 weeks that we're going to preach on this, I'm going to talk to you about the enticer. I'm going to talk to you about how to identify and how to avoid and how to react to enticers. But listen to me, it doesn't start with an enticer, it starts with a wrong desire. If you're walking around and you harbor a secret desire, a secret lust that you've allowed, you've created this little place, a home for it in your life, a home for it in your heart. It's your little fantasy place. It's your place where, you know what, you think to yourself, well, I'll never do it, but you know what, it sure would be cool. Or if I knew I wouldn't get caught one of these days, or maybe there's some young people in here, and you know what, you're going to the Christian school, you're involved in the youth group, you're buying your time, you're saying all the right things, you dress a certain way, but down deep you're harboring a desire to break away and go out there and participate in things of the world. As long as you have that in your heart, and you harbor that in your heart, you are putting on yourself a gigantic bullseye. Because, listen, you say, well, Brother Jerry, Satan can't read my mind. He can't read my heart. I'm going to address that. You're exactly right. But let me tell you something. He's also no dummy. He can't read your thoughts, but he can watch your eyes. He can't read your mind, read your heart, but you know what? He sees where you linger. He sees what no one else sees when you're by yourself. He sees what you look at or try to look at when your parents aren't around. I mean, a Satan doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what the sin is that does so easily beset us. And so the devil sees that. And he says, you know what? They're harboring a wrong desire. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring somebody in their life that's going to begin to okay that in their mind. I'm going to bring somebody to participate in the process. I'm going to bring somebody in their life that's going to begin to start telling them and talking to them and convincing them that it's okay. But let me say this. Let me just give you a perfect illustration of this. If an enticer came up to me tomorrow... You know, let's suppose I'm at the gas station. I'm filling up with gas. And the truck pulls up beside me. And, you know, it's Billy Joe. His four-wheel drive truck with mud all over. And he gets out and he starts filling up his gas tank. And he opens the door of his truck and he's got a cooler in there. And he pops a little of the cooler and reaches in there and grabs a beer and says, hey, man, you want a beer? I said, no, thank you. No, come on, man. Come on. Just here. Listen, it's free, brother. Here, man. Take a beer. Can I tell you something? That's going to have absolutely no effect on me. You know why? Because I harbor no secret desire for a beer. Now, some of you boys that are sitting around, you know, one of these days I'm going to try it. You know, I'm not one to be a drunkard, but one of these, before it's all over... One of these days, you know what? It'll probably work on you. And what I'm trying to say here is this. Folks, listen to me. You know what? The only way an enticer can make headway is if we have harbored in our heart secret desires. Now, what I'm saying is that, you know, we could solve a lot of our own problems if we would not wait and try to deal with sin or deal with temptation or deal with an enticer. We would nip everything in the bud like Barney Fife, nip it in the bud, right at the very beginning. If we would just begin to address in our lives wrong desires, Would to God Christian young people had enough sense to take the trip at the altar when the desire's wrong and confess the wrong desire and get the right desire and get that straightened out. You know what? You wouldn't have a problem with an enticer. You wouldn't have a problem with temptation. You wouldn't have a problem with sin. You wouldn't have to deal with the consequences if you deal with the desires. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of thy heart. Now, let me ask you to become, listen to me, listen please what I'm going to say. Let me ask you to become ultra sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to get to the point where when the Holy Spirit, that's why David said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way where? In that other guy that's down the road that's going to come beside me in the truck. No, the problem's not so much with him. The problem's with what we're harboring in our heart. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because if there's a wrong desire, there's some little area where we're hard. I'm talking about men in this. Listen to me. I don't know. I'm not saying this because I know of any circumstance. I'm talking about men in this room that's going to commit adultery in the next 12 months if you don't get that desire out of your heart. I'm talking about women in this room that's going to leave their husband and have an adulterous affair if you don't get those silly desires out of your heart. And I'm talking about young men in this room that's going to be into drugs in 12 months if you don't confess that foolish desire. I'm talking about somebody in here that's never put a cigarette to your lips, but you're going to do it soon. You know why? Because you want to. That's why. So don't smoke a cigarette and then come up here with get right with God. Get right with God for wanting to smoke a cigarette. Don't go get drunk and then come up here and want to get right. I want you to if you do that, but good night. Wouldn't it be so much better if we didn't have to deal with the sin and the shame and the result of sin, the death of something that always comes as a result of sin? So listen, what we've got to do as Christians is not say, my job is not to sin. It's my job is not to lust. My job is not to have the wrong desire. My job is not even to go down that road. So what I'm saying is this, an enticer can't do a whole lot unless somewhere in the heart of that individual, don't tell me how lily white you are. You know, somebody does wrong. Well, it was that kid's fault. It was that girl's fault. It was that wrong. No, you know what? You know what? It was your heart. Because if it wasn't in there, if there wasn't a secret place for it, it wouldn't have worked. I'm talking about unless somebody put a gun to your head and made you, it wouldn't have worked. That guy can't talk. You know, Billy Joe can't talk me into a beer at the gas station. You know why? I hold no secret desire for a beer. That kind of temptation is laughable to me. But I'm telling you what, if you harbor it, you're a target. Are you listening to me? All right, let's help ourselves out tonight, all right? Now, here's what happens. Satan notices that we have a wrong desire. So what he does then is he sends an enticer into our lives. Now, young people, listen to me. Somebody comes into your life. We're going to talk about who these people are. Somebody comes into your life and begins to entice you to do something. If you listen to Pastor Jerry tonight, and by the way, I don't care who you are, one of these days, as much as we try to stay right with God, as much as we try to stay, have our hearts pure and read our Bibles and pray, listen, folks, at our best, we're just old sinners. But if at least you know the ingredients, then you understand what's happening. Somebody begins to entice you to do wrong, and you know what? It's not laughable to you. It's not right. A matter of fact, there's something inside of you that says, man, I'd like to. I'm just praying to God by the time these 3 weeks are gone that at that moment you understand what is happening. Because, folks, a wrong desire and enticer does not have to result in sin. You can't, listen, God always, we're going to study this, makes a way to escape. You don't have to. Even if you're not right down here, and who is completely, and the enticer comes along, you do not have to sin. And the studied Christian is not a Christian that never has a wrong desire. The studied Christian is never a Christian that doesn't face an enticer. A studied Christian and probably a survivor in the Christian life is someone who begins and notices and understands and sees those two ingredients come together and allows the Holy Spirit to say, this is what you've been taught. This is what the Bible says. This is what the preacher told you was going to happen. I want to do this. And there's someone there telling me to do this. I need to head for the hills right now because I'm in the most dangerous spot a Christian can be in. And it doesn't mean that you never have a wrong desire. It never means that you're never going to face a tyser. It means that you're smart enough and educated enough and know the Bible enough that you see those things come together and without, and I'll show you that this is true, you don't stop, you don't talk, you don't chat, you don't meditate, you don't get into a conversation, you don't say, I'll wait it out and it'll go away. You get as fast as you can away from that situation as you possibly can. Because you know what? We have two ingredients that when put together is going to cause a nuclear explosion and send debris everywhere in your life. By the way, if we knew the hearts, I promise you this is true. I know how Satan, you know why? Because he's worked this same lame scheme since the Garden of Eden and it still works. I guarantee you right now there's young people and some adults in this room. And those two volatile ingredients are right beside each other in your life right now. And this sermon is either going to save you or you're going to ignore it. And we are going to have another casualty. So listen very carefully to what we're going to teach you, okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Brother Jerry, could you help me define an enticer? Can you help me identify an enticer? As much as I want to keep my heart right, as much as I want to keep my desires right, I'm not so foolish as to not understand that these circumstances are going to happen in my life from time to time. How can I identify and understand and then avoid an enticer? How do I know when an enticer is at work? Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Let me give you this. I want you to underline this verse. This is so important. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 says this. This I say, lest any man should, by the way, you'll see the word beguile, subtile. This always is involved in an enticer. An enticer is a deceiver. But notice the tools of their trade. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with what? Look right up here. Please let me have your full attention. An enticer does not use a weapon or he wouldn't be an enticer. You're not being enticed to do something if you're being forced to do it. So they can't use force. An enticer, by definition, has one primary tool of their trade, and that is their words. Now, they've got a secondary one that I'll bring into play next week. But let me just stay with me. There's one primary tool of their trade, and that is they use words. They use words. Let me give you a definition. The word found in the Hebrew that's translated entice means, well, this is so important, get this. It means to make roomy, to open or enlarge. So if we went back to that new nursery area and we said, you know what, that one room's not big enough, we didn't do this, but let's say we said we're going to knock that entire wall out. And we've done this. We've gone downstairs in our learning centers. Remember when those were all cookie cutter Sunday school rooms? And as the school grew, we said we need to enlarge this space. There's a wall, let's knock it down, let's make it bigger. That's what the word entice means, to make roomy, to open, to enlarge. An enticer encourages you to open things up. You ever heard this? Be more open-minded. To make room in your mind to at least consider the possibility of a certain action. They help you enlarge your desire and make the possibility more alluring and appealing. They are the persuasive, deceptive voice that tells you that it is okay to go ahead and give in to what you really want to do. That's what an enticer. Now, young people, listen to me. They use words. You're going to hear this many times in the next few. They use words. Enticing words. Enticing words. Enticing words. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 13. God knew that in the newly established nation, this theocracy that he has instituted at this time over the Israelite people, he understood that there would be this danger of enticers. God knew how Satan worked. So in Deuteronomy chapter 13, notice this in verse number 6. Deuteronomy 13, 6. Say, Brother Jerry, okay, they use enticing words. Who are they? Just tell me who they are, and I can watch for them. All right, I'm going to tell you who they are. Deuteronomy 13, 6. If thy brother, so I'll tell you this, it can be your brother. The son of thy mother, could be your stepbrother. Or thy daughter, could be one of your children's parents. No, some of you, your kids are working on you to drop your standards. Your kids are working on you to backslide. Yes. By the way, the older you get, the more influence your children have on you. Your influence seems to lessen, theirs seems to increase. You know why? Because the natural progression of life's taking place. Listen to me. Or the wife of thy bosom. It can be your wife. Ladies, it can be your husband. Or thy friend. But she's my friend, but he's my friend. Pastor Jerry's trying to pick our friends. No, I'm trying to give you enough biblical sense to know how to pick them yourself. I don't have a right. You say, you don't have a right to pick my friends. Let me give you this. God does. God does. God does. Excuse me. Excuse me. God has a right to pick your friends. And if you've got any sense at all, you're going to listen to him. Help him. Let him help you pick your friends. So what I'm saying is it can be your brother. It can be your stepbrother or sister. It can be your son. It can be your daughter. It can be your wife. It can be your friend. Which is as thine own soul, your very, very best bud. Now notice the next word. Entice thee. Now notice this. Watch this. Secretly. Now look right up here. All right, mark that spot with your fingers, but look up here and eyeball me. Enticers always work the fringes. They always work in secret. An enticer, young man, young lady, an enticer is not going to come up with their enticing words and begin to entice you in front of your mother, in front of your father, in front of your preacher, in front of the youth pastor. Matter of fact, in front of them, there'll be wolves in sheep clothing. They will wait till you're away from authority. They will catch you in the parking lot. They'll call you on your cell phone. Listen to me. They'll call you on your cell phone. We got some of you that got enticers on speed dial right now. And they have you on speed dial. They also got a big target right on your heart. They use email. They use these silly instant messaging. Technology has made the enticers have increased access to our young people. You know, I mean, the honest truth is, Brother Dave, you're a computer guy. There used to be a time when, you know, you just send the girls upstairs, send them to their room. You know what? Nobody, you knew who's talking to them or not talking to them. They can be in their room. They could be communicating with an enticer. You could think, you know what? They're up there doing their homework. They could be communicating with an enticer. Well, I don't let them have a computer in a room. Do they have a cell phone? Well, I'm saying, parents, we need to wake up. We better start waking up. Okay? Any of these people can be an enticer, and they're going to do it secretly. Dad, they're not going to call you and say, listen, I just thought I'd come over this evening. You have a little bit of time. I'd like to sit in your living room with you and your wife and your daughter and entice her. I'd like to just have a little bit of time with your son there around the dinner table, and I'd entice him while you guys. No, they're not going to do it. They're going to do it secretly. Now notice this, entice thee secretly. What's the next word? What's the primary tool? Amen. That's their primary tool of trade. Words. They're going to use words. Now, this is what they'll say. Entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Now, let me, by the way, we just gave the cure to this thing. We're going to get to that in the last night. So you can read that, study that, but I'm going to tell you, if everybody would do that, enticers would be out of business. Now look right up here and listen to me. Brother Jerry, who are potential enticers? Here's the answer. Anybody. Anybody. You can't let your guard down. It could be family. It could be friends. Bible says, you don't have to turn these, but Bible says a neighbor can be a potential enticer. Proverbs 16:29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. This is a big one. Boyfriend or girlfriend can be an enticer. Yes, sir. If a man entice a maid, Exodus 22:16, what's he doing? He's using words. By the way, in this wicked generation, young men, it's just not young men that are after decent young ladies. It's wicked young ladies that are enticing some of our young men. You know what they use? They words. They use words. They start by using words. Words. The Bible says in Colossians 2:4 that we've still got open there. It says, this I say, lest any man. You know what that's telling me? Every single person in my life and your life has the potential to be an enticer, saved and lost. You know, even good people sometimes, if we're not careful, we begin to see somebody that we love want something very badly. We know it's really not bad, best for them. But you know what? We start verbally okaying that because we think, we say to ourselves, because we love them and they obviously want it. And you know what? Maybe it'll make them happy. Listen, if it's wrong, then tell them it's wrong. Tell them. But my friend, you know what? She and her parents don't know in all of this, but you know what? I think it would really, if it's wrong, tell her it's wrong. Tell her it's wrong. And the honest truth is, folks, anybody in the world, I've got to watch it. I've got to watch what I say. You've got to watch what you say. You've got to watch what you okay. Anybody in the world has the potential to be an enticer. One Bible example tonight. Genesis chapter number 3. Next week, turn there please. Genesis chapter number 3. Next week we're going to cover 3 or 4 more Bible examples of how an enticer works, how they operate. The Bible gives us plenty, numerous Bible stories and illustrations where we can see exactly how an enticer operates. We should not be taken unawares. There's too much material in the Bible for us to say, well, I just didn't know about that. I didn't see that coming. Good night. It's in the Bible over and over and over again. Let's go to the first classic example of an enticer at work. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more what? Okay, remember the beguiling words? We're getting some traits here. We're building a profile of an enticer. First of all, they're a deceiver. Young man, look at me. If your friend is a deceitful person, they're always trying to pull the wool over the eyes of authority. They're always trying to sneak behind their parents' back. They're one of these cool people that can look right at an authority figure and lie and trick and then laugh at it later. You know what? That's an enticer. You need to get away from that young person. They're not cool. They're an enticer. And see, you're so silly, you don't realize, you think that they're just real cool and they fool everybody else, trick everybody else, and you don't even realize you're being tricked at the same time. Young lady, you think, well, this one girl, you know, boy, she's got the teachers fooled and she's got the authorities fooled and she's got her parents fooled and boy, she can turn it off and on and she's so slick, she knows she's an enticer. Get away from her. Get away from her. She's an enticer. Get away from her. Serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said, here's the tools of the trade. Folks, listen. Nowhere can you find where Satan forced her to do anything. He used one tool. Words.
Yes, sir.
You know, words are powerful. Brother Mike, words are powerful. That's why there's James chapter number 3. That's why all through the Bible, God warns us about how much poison can come out of this tongue of ours. That's why we as Christians, and we are going to answer to God for every idle word. You know what? We ought to use some sense.
Yes, sir.
Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You know, the more you talk, the more you get in trouble. By the very nature of the beast, you ought to keep this thing bridled for the most part, and you ought to be so careful to only use it in such a way where you're encouraging and helping people do right.
Amen.
I'm talking about 30, 40-year veteran Christians can be enticers if you're not careful. You can become an enticer and begin to give young people wrong advice, misguided advice. Are you listening? And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now listen to me, because we're going to put the spotlight on this enticer. You say, Brother Jerry, this isn't a person. This is a snake. Let me just say this. The snake's behind all of the enticement that's going on. And let me just say this also. Look up here. Enticement sometimes is demonic. Say, I always thought that there had to be a wrong desire and then an enticer. So I have a wrong desire and there's no enticer around, I must be safe. No, there's always an enticer. There's a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The words may not come from human lips. Are you listening to me? The words may not come from human lips. You ever been there? Come on now. You been there? There's not a person in sight, and yet you have running through your mind every single rational, supposedly good reason to do something that you know is absolutely wrong. Where are those words coming from? So it's not always a human being. Now in the Bible, we're going to see a lot of times it is a human being, but that's why you can't, because, well, I got a wrong desire, but I'll just watch out for the enticer. Let me tell you something, folks. You're fooling yourself. Get rid of that wrong desire, because the enticer could be Satan himself. So he says, yea, hath notice this, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. I want you to listen to the interaction, then we're going to break this down, and then we'll put a pause button on this. We'll come back next Sunday night, Lord willing. We'll hit the pause button, and we'll pick up and take off again. Please don't miss me in the last few minutes. You're going to hear some things you need to hear. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent. She didn't run. She didn't say, let me go get Adam. By the way, who was her authority figure? Where's he at? Why'd the Satan pick in this moment? Same reason, young person, that kid comes to you when your parents aren't around. Reason they catch you out there at break time instead of in front of the teacher.
Yes, sir.
We're profiling this rascal. If you learn his ways, if you learn her ways, you're not going to be surprised anymore. You're going to see it coming. It's plain as day, folks. We don't see it because we're foolish. It's right there in front of us. The woman said unto the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now let me show you the two ingredients are here. I really believe with all my heart that you, if you have a wrong desire, I'm going to clarify this with scripture and listen to me. If you have a wrong desire, you need to deal with it. But a wrong desire is not sin. Or we wouldn't have James chapter 1. It says you are drawn away of your own lust, enticed, and when lust hath conceived, which means it joins with an entire enticer and produces something, it bringeth forth what? That's where sin is. So Eve was still sinless. She had a wrong desire, was harboring a wrong desire, but she had not committed a sin. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, Pastor Jerry's not lying to you? I'm not saying that your wrong desire is sin. I'm saying it's unwise. I'm saying it makes you an easy target. I'm saying you need to get rid of it. I'm saying you can cut the thing off at the pass. Now, listen to what I have to say, because this is what I believe. And you look at it, see if it's not true. I think Eve had a wrong desire. You say, why? I'll tell you two reasons I believe. Number one, where she was when the enticer came. Where was she? She sat right underneath that tree. Why is she there? Well, we're a mess, us human beings. Here God makes this beautiful planet, perfect, no disease, no nothing bad. Makes this beautiful garden, creates a man and woman, sits in it, and says, I got one rule, leave that tree alone. And where do we find Eve? Sitting underneath the tree. Thinking probably these thoughts. Wonder why God says we can't have that one. Boy, he's strict. No, that's what you kids say all the time. No, this church is so strict. We're giving you this beautiful place, this safe place, this wonderful place, this godly place, and it comes with some rules, and you sit around underneath those rules all the time going, that's just not fair. And you got a desire. You know, the rule that you resist in your heart is the desire, the ungodly desire that you're harboring. The rule that you're resisting in your heart is the ungodly desire that you're harboring. So where was she when he came? Now, give me this. Let me give you this thought. Brother Jerry, how come you think she had a secret desire? A wrong desire? Because of what she said in response to the question. He said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Did God say that? He said, don't eat of it. He didn't say, don't touch it. Say, Brother Jerry, what does that tell you? Listen to me very carefully. Her resentment is hinted at when she exaggerates the command of God. Okay, let me put it on a level you can understand. We've got a rule here at the Christian school. No touch rule. Youth activities, no touch rule. Would to God parents had that in their homes. No touch rule. Good for a man not to touch a woman. So there's a young lady, and she's, you know, in high school. She goes to Blessed Hope Christian School. Somebody comes to her at the workplace and said, hey, I hear you go to that Christian school. Yeah, I heard they got some strict rules. Well, I hear you're not allowed to hold hands. You're not allowed to hold hands. And this lady says, not only are we not allowed to hold hands, we can't even look at guys in that school. Now, listen, folks, come on. Tell me something. If you heard that conversation, what would you conclude about that young lady? She's for that rule or against it? She's happy about that rule or she's against it? She's with that rule or she's resisting it? You know why you knew that? Because she exaggerated the severity of the rule. We do not have a rule that guys and girls cannot look at each other in the school. But we are contemplating that. No, we don't. And by the way, Eve, there's no rule that said you couldn't touch it. You know what you're saying? God's too strict. God's too hard. He's put this burden of rules on us in this perfect garden where there's no... Listen, folks, do you get this? Do you... Man, I'm telling you what, I want to line some Christian schools up, kids up, and just kick the snot out of it. I'm sick and tired of you whining about the rules. Good night, you're in the closest thing to paradise you can be in. You're griping about a little bit of fruit you can't touch. And what the problem is you're harboring resentment. You're harboring a secret desire. And you are the next candidate for a catastrophe. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about parents having revival. I'm talking about parents stop griping about the rules and feeding that discontent. I'm talking about kids not coming to an altar tonight and saying, God, forgive me for breaking a rule. Forgive me for resenting a rule. You know why? Because you're Eve. You are sitting under the tree. You are bitter about not being able to do some things that's not good for you. You don't agree with God. You don't agree with the authority. And there's going to be an enticer comes alongside of you one of these days, and they're going to start playing on that discontentment. So what's the enticer? Remember, this enticer came. I'm going to profile this. I'm going to tell you something. If you'll come these three Sunday nights, there's no way you should ever in your life be caught unawares in an enticer's grip, in an enticer's web. You should not be ever caught unawares. Amen. First of all, resentment. An unholy desire. Secondly, when's the enticer come? Where's she at? She with Adam? Secretly. Third, what does he use? All right, what's he say? First of all, in verse number one, he says, hath God said? He wants you to start doubting authority. He wants you to start doubting authority. Number two, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Folks, an enticer is a liar. They're a liar. They'll begin you to, listen, you better get this. An enticer's M.O. is this. Not only do they approach you away from authority, they begin to work on your relationship with the authority. They want you to doubt the authority. They want you to convince the authority is lying to you. Let me take it a step farther. Don't miss this. This is his further explanation. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. The authority, not only does he want you to doubt it, not only does he want you to think the authority is lying to you, he wants you to think the authority is robbing you of some things that ought to be rightfully yours. Their motivation is wrong. They're robbing you of some things that you have a right to. If you'll eat of this, God knows that the reason he don't want you to eat of it, he knows that the day that you do, your eyes will be open, you'll be as God's. Doesn't that sound like the world? You know what? Your mom and dad are just trying to keep you from having their fun. They're trying to keep you from enjoying life. They know that the minute that you get involved in this and do this, your eyes are going to be open. Listen, they're trying to keep, they want to keep you silly and dumb and backwards. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Teenagers, would you listen to me, please? Somebody comes up to you and starts criticizing your parents and their rules and their regulations, starts undermining the rules of this church and this school in your mind, why don't you get a clue? The perfume they're wearing is called brimstone. I'm sorry, but there's no reason for us to be this simple. There's no reason for Christian school after Christian school after Christian school, class after class, generation after generation, be harboring little kids, a bunch of kids that are walking around with the same silly, unbiblical, carnal viewpoint of life. And Satan comes to you and uses elementary tactics on you and just blows you out of the water every time. You don't have sense one. If somebody's got your ear and their bad mouth and your good godly mom and dad and their rules and the safeguards that they've placed around you, let me tell you something, that's an enticer. And he wouldn't have come to you if he didn't see already that you're resentful towards it. So how do you fix that? You get rid of the resentment. You get your relationship fixed with your mom and dad. You don't let what some enticer says has more authority and more sway in your life than godly parents. You guys listen to this? You guys that ride the bus in here, come in on the vans in here. Thank God for you. But I'm going to guarantee you, as soon as the kids at your school start figuring out you're going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? They're going to start coming up to you and they're going to start attacking this church, attacking this preacher, attacking what we preach. You need to get away from that place. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you this story. Let me tell you that. This guy has done this. This guy's a liar. This guy's trying to keep you. All those rules, all those dress standards, they're going to start working on you and working on you and working on you. And no, if you're not careful, next thing you know, you'll bolt. You'll take off. By the way, you'll come see me in 10 years. I'll be sitting in my office trying to help you put your life back together too. When you realize a bunch of liars that don't care a whit about you, just for game, just for sport, just for entertainment to watch you destroy your life. And then by the way, where are they when the party's over? Where are they when your life's running a wreck? Where are they? By the way, I'll still be here. If you listen to them, I'll still be here and I'll help you. But why listen? Boy, listen. Now, kids, listen to me. Listen to me. We're done. Listen to me. Let's wrap this thing up. Man, we're starting to draw a diagram up here. We're starting to put out a profile on this rascal. We're helping you see and identify what's going on. And it's happening over and over and over again. I could call names if I was so cruel. Young men, young ladies that at one time were dedicated Christians in this church house. But you know what? They got around a bunch of people that started tearing down the authority, tearing down the rules. Hath God said? No, that's not the truth. You know what? They're trying to keep you from having fun. Same old stuff that Satan's been using for 6,000 years. Instead of somebody having enough sense, enough Bible knowledge, enough godliness to say, you know what? I wouldn't be wrestling with this if I didn't have a wrong desire. You know what? That rascal's the enticer Pastor Jerry was telling me about. And man, I need to get out of here as fast. I mean, I don't care if you're in the middle of a meal. I don't care if you're in the middle of a conversation. You just stop, excuse me, go get in the car and head for home. You get that cell phone out and you call mom. Say, Mom, come pick me up. All right. Remember, the problem's not all them. Listen to me. Problem's not all them. But this is the ingredients. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom, give us grace, give us strength. Help us, Lord, to study the Bible and see how Satan works, and help us not to be ignorant as to his devices. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some of you, listen, I don't know. Kids, believe it or not, no matter what anybody says, we don't spy. I don't have hidden cameras. There were some new converts came here, and they told me after being here 3 weeks, they want to know if we had cameras in their house. No, we don't have any cameras in anybody's house. I don't know what's going on. I know this. I try to listen to God. God knows what's going on in your life. Let's deal with this tonight. Here's the starting point. Before we can go out there and face enticers prosperously, we have to say this: search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Young man, young lady, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, I don't care who it is. You can harbor wrong desires, and if you're not careful, you build a cozy place for them. You hear this kind of preaching, you're resistant to it. You've built this little protective room in your heart where you keep these kind of things. Man, it's time to throw that door open and empty that out and say, God, please help me to want the right things. Help me to want to do right. Help me to want to live right. Help me to want to be pure. Help me to want to serve you. Help me to want to please my parents. Help me to want to walk the straight. Help me want to have the convictions. Help me to want to embrace the rules. Because if your wanter's broke, man alive, you're just a prime target for the devil. Stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. God, please help us.